We want to read the parable of the pound tonight, and we're dealing with it in the light of the coming of the Lord. Remember to pray for Miss Pickard in particular, and Alice, who has the day-by-day problem of all the waiting upon her and the responsibility, and it's weighing heavy on Mrs. Braxton, so we need to remember her in our prayers. Now we're in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities? And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and weepest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and weeping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we bow in thy holy presence, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed all that we sang about him, and much more. Certainly he is fairer than anything we have ever known. And we praise you, our Father, that when we get home to glory, and faith gives way to sight, we shall then exclaim like the Queen of Sheba, when she saw the wisdom of Solomon, the coming and going of his servants, all the glory of his kingdom, she cried out, yea, the half hath not been told. Father, the millions concerning thy dear son has not been told, but what we know is exceedingly precious. For he has saved us, and he has delivered us from the wrath to come. He has put within our souls the joy of learning of him day by day, of learning of his wisdom, of your desires for us, your purposes for the nations. And we ask you, our God, that as we study and learn of thy sovereignty, of thy wondrous works, of thy great plan of redemption, of the future of thy people, that above all else, thy name will be glorified upon our lips, and that we'll tell poor sinners the gospel simply, humbly, honestly, and with a desire for thy blessing in their lives. We pray for those needs that are represented in our assembly. We pray especially for Mrs. Braxton and her mother, Miss Pickers. You know the needs in that family. You have purposes in everything you do and in everything you allow. We confess to you, Father, that we don't know many of your purposes. We're so ignorant of them. But one thing we do know, we must confess with David, as for God, his way is perfect. Therefore, we ask you to graciously undertake on behalf of our dear sister. Now, Father, we commend ourselves to you tonight. And as we do, we pray for the needs about us. There are those who have been smitten by the storm that came through South Carolina, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands. We ask on behalf of Nora Patterson. We don't know if she's dead or alive. We don't know if she's lost her home and everything else. But we bring her to thee because our ignorance is not your ignorance. For no matter what happens, you promise never to leave nor to forsake thine own. And we ask you to give us word, and that soon. And then, our Father, we pray for those who are without shelter, without clothing, and the necessities of life. And we ask you to graciously see through the distribution and the goodness of thy people that these needs will be met and thy name will be glorified from their lips. Now we commend ourselves to you tonight and ask you to work in us and through us that which is well pleasing in thy sight. For the Lord Jesus' sake, amen. The parable of the pounds, if you notice the first verse that we read tonight, verse 11 of chapter 19, is related to the conversion of Zacchaeus, that man who was up in the sycamore tree. The conversion of Zacchaeus is related to the parable that we examined last week, the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. Our Lord's gracious treatment in that parable of the publican, for he said of the publican, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. And then he said why. Now, in our Lord's gracious treatment of the publican, in that parable, his treatment was warmly received by many. And it gave real hope to those who were in that despised fraternity of the publicans. The publicans were Jews who were tax gatherers for Rome. And the Jews hated to pay the Roman tax to begin with, but after they paid the Roman tax, they also had to pay the living of the publicans, and the publicans fleeced the common people. And it was like having a license to steal. And they were a despised people. But our Lord said of the publican in the parable, he went down to his house justified. So having given that parable, you can understand why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus and why he went to the length that he did to see him. Now on the occasion of the parable of the pounds, it was according to verse 11, and as they heard these things, what did they hear? If you take the last two verses, he says of Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to his house, for he is a son of Abraham. And a son of Abraham means that he's one of God's people. He's one of the Lord, for those who believe to the saving of the soul are the spiritual seed of Abraham. And we read in the next verse, for, because the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he spake the parable. Now, the rich publican, Zacchaeus, he caught a glimpse of the passing of Jesus of Nazareth. Christ invited himself to Zacchaeus' home. And Christ declared his mission in verse 9 or verse 10. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was near Jerusalem. He was going toward Jerusalem. And because the people thought that the kingdom of God would now immediately appear. So this parable is given to correct the mistaken idea that the people had. They thought that there was going to be an immediate manifestation of the kingdom. You see, to the disciples of our Lord and to others in Israel, they were looking for a material kingdom. They were looking out of a way out from being in bondage to Rome. They didn't want to pay taxes to Rome. And therefore, they thought the kingdom would immediately appear and Christ would be the king. They failed to understand the truth of his death and his burial and his resurrection. Look back for just a moment in chapter 18. In chapter 18, after having given the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, which we dealt with last week, he had the encounter with the rich young ruler, and then in verse 31, he takes unto him the 12, and he specifically says to them, in verse 31, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. And he shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. This truth fell on deaf ears. They didn't hear what the Lord Jesus said. For verse 34 says, and they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, neither knew they the things that were spoken. They didn't understand the truth of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the crowds, the miracle at Jericho, stimulated the idea of Christ's kingdom. And the miracle at Jericho was the healing of the blind man, Bartimaeus. All these things come together, and now our Lord is going to teach them things concerning the kingdom of God. Things that are very, very important. Now when you come to this parable is very much like the parable of the talents that is found in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14 and going to verse 36. These two parables are not the same. Matthew is not the same parable, as some have said, the Luke's is, but just in a simpler form. I don't accept that. They are two different parables, though there is a similarity between them. And if you've never stopped to consider these two parables, to read them through, to see the differences in them, let me just say a few things about them. I'm going to ask a question. Is there anyone here who doesn't know about the parable in Matthew? You all know it. Then we don't need to read it. Okay. Now, the parables are not the same. They're not the same. The parable of the pounds is different because Jesus reveals not only the nature of his coming kingdom, but in the parable of the pounds, he speaks of his intervening death, resurrection, ascension, and glory. It is implied, friends, in the fact that he's going into a far country to receive a kingdom and then return. It is implied in what he said previously. these chapters must be taken together. These are incidents that are happening one upon another, and they are all related. For you'll find that they are joined by the letter or by the word and it connects us to that which has gone before. Now we want to compare these two parables, the one in Matthew 25, the one in Luke 19 that we read. First, both parables that the Lord teaches bestows privileges on his servants and demands faithfulness in return. And each will receive the reward at his coming. In this they're alike. They both bestow privileges. The one in Matthew 25, it's talents. Much more money than pounds. In Luke 19, it is the pounds. So we notice that both of them bestow privileges, and according to how these privileges are used in faithfulness while our Lord is gone, that will be rewarded in a coming day. And our Lord in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, he says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." My reward is with me. We may not think it important to be engaged in the things of God as saved people. We may not think it's important. But it is. And these two parables teach us the importance, because in a coming day, we're going to be rewarded for what we did with what God has entrusted to us. Both parables teach this truth. But we move on. But now while both deal in privileges that God gives to his people, they're different. In the talents, Matthew 25, they present the bestowal of unequal privileges. Did you get that? Unequal privileges with a teaching that when unequal gifts are used with equal diligence, the reward is equal in the day of reward that you have in the parable of the talents. Did you get that? Unequal privileges. None of us are alike. Some of us have a lot of talent, and I'm not talking about myself. I've often wished there were certain talents that I would have, but I don't have them. You see, I don't have a talent for singing. Everybody knows that. You see, but that doesn't mean I don't apply diligence in trying. You see what I'm trying to say? Again, unequal privileges with a teaching that when unequal gifts are used with equal diligence, the reward is equal in the day of reward. You study that out in Matthew 25. It may be an eye-opener for you. Now in the pounds, the passage that is before us tonight, it reveals the reception of equal privileges. Everybody is given the same thing, a pound, you see. And the fact that they who are faithful may yet be unequal in the amount of their success. Unequal. One man's pound gained 10. One man's pound gained 5. And one man wrapped his in a napkin. We won't get to all that tonight. I can see that. But keep that in mind. So we have the difference now between the talent and the pound. Another distinction is this. Both parables alike exhibit the cardinal distinction between the faithful and the faithless. the talents teach that Christians differ from each other in the amount of gifts received. In the pounds teach that we differ from each other in the amount of diligence that is displayed. Are we diligent as we look at the parable of the pounds in the things of God? That is what is before us. Now, let us look at the nobleman in the story. For we read in verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And I want to emphasize one word in the next verse. I'm going to change it, and then you'll see what I mean. And it came to pass that if he was returned. There's no question as to whether the Lord's going to return or not. It isn't a matter of if he returns. It's a matter of when he returns. We don't know when he's coming. This is the truth of the imminent return of the Lord. Our Lord is coming again. It is a truth that needs to be emphasized. The coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming again. Now, here our Lord describes himself as a man from a noble family with rights to a kingdom. A kingdom was due him because of his birthright. Because of who our Lord is. It was said of him before he was born, thou shalt call his name Jesus, he shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now in this passage that is before us, and there are many commentators who only see this, there was an historical incident of that day that the people were familiar with, that our Lord used in the story here, and applied it to himself. Archelaus, the tetrarch, whose palace was at Jericho, left his kingdom to his servants and gave them money to run the kingdom while he went to Rome to Caesar in order that he might receive a greater kingdom and be recognized not as a tetrarch or just a ruler, but as a king. He wanted to be recognized as a king, as Herod was recognized as a king. However, a deputy of 50 Jews followed him, and they protested his kingship to Caesar and the Roman Senate. And therefore, he returned and he never received the title king. Now, on his return, he called for an accounting of the use of his money he had entrusted to his servants while he was gone. Now that is a historical incident of the first century that the people to whom our Lord spoke, they understood what happened. They knew what happened. And he had just come through Jericho. You get the setting. He came through Jericho and while coming through, there was blind Bartimaeus that he was healed, that proclaimed him to be noble in his activity. And then he manifests the truth of the parable. He saves in a gracious way and goes to live, to have fellowship in the house of a publican, even Zacchaeus. Now, our Lord takes this incident and he uses it to correct the wrong idea that the people had concerning his kingdom. They thought our Lord would immediately establish his kingdom. This was evident in the lives of the disciples continuously. For they fought in the upper room, you remember, over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, who was going to sit in his right hand and who was going to sit in his left hand. They fought over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. In fact, after our Lord died, was buried, and arose again in the opening verses of the book of Acts, as our Lord ministered to his own and showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, the disciples asked him the question, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he answered, "It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but use the pound and the talents. Ye shall be witnesses unto me." That's what he said. "You shall be witnesses unto me." And then he told about how they were rare there to witness in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He's given his people a responsibility. In our Lord's correction of their misunderstanding, he told them very definite things. First, he told them he was going away to receive a kingdom. He's going away. Second, he implied in this parable that his servants would have the responsibility of caring for his interests while he is bodily absent. And our Lord is not here in person. Our Lord is bodily absent. He's sitting upon the majesty of the throne in the glory. He has been exalted to that position by God the Father. The third thing our Lord stresses in straightening out their thinking is he would reward all those who had been faithful, and he would deal drastically with all those who rejected him from ruling over them. And this is the whole of the gospel message. He that believeth hath everlasting life. But he that obeyeth not the Son, John 3:36, shall not see the life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And when our Lord returns, he is going to deal, just as the parable said, "They who would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither, that they should be slain before me." Considering the nobleman, our Lord Jesus is the noblest of the noble. He came of noble birth. He was of earth's best blood. He was a son of Abraham. He was a son of David. And he's the only begotten son of God. He is the nobleman of the story. Now, the nobleman, our Lord Jesus, went into a far country to receive a kingdom. At his ascension, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. The text from the Old Testament that is used more often in the New Testament than any other is Psalm 110, verse 1. "The Lord said unto my Lord," Jehovah said unto David's Lord, and David's Lord is none other than our Lord Jesus. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool of thy feet." This is a most important text, Psalm 110, verse 1. It is a text that we have in the Gospels. It is a text that is found a few times in the Acts. It is a text that is found in the Epistle to the Hebrews. "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet." And at the ascension of Christ, he sat down on the right hand of the Father. Having ascended on high, we read in Ephesians 4, he received gifts for men. And the gifts that he has given are men whom he has given to the church. For he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, and teachers. From the throne of the Father, our Lord Jesus exercises his power. For we read in Philippians chapter 2, God hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name. You talk about a nobleman? He's given him a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, the nobleman who was there, who gave sight to blind Bartimaeus, who saved the publican Zacchaeus, his name is above every name, the name Jesus. And at his name every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But presently, friends, his kingdom is invisible. You cannot see it. But what does it consist of? At present, his kingdom, while invisible, it consists of that great plan of redemption. The redemption of men that was accomplished at Calvary's cross. That's what it consists of. He translates believing sinners from the thraldom of sin and Satan and places them into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are born of God, and we therefore see and enter the kingdom of God. In the far country where the nobleman is gone, he has all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. He is coming again. He says he, the nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom and return. He's coming again. And he's coming again to rule as a supreme king over the kingdom. I want you to turn and read just a few passages with me. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. And then we'll turn to Revelation chapter 12. Daniel 7, notice verse 18. Very important text. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. What did our Lord say in the parable? Rule over many cities. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Notice, verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. One more passage, the last verse, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, the second last verse. Wherefore we, I have a little circle around that word we. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us, and I have that word encircled too, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, I don't have time tonight. I've gone a little too long already. I don't have time to go into the other parts of the parable, but in the will of the Lord, I'm going to do it next week. Beloved, the Lord's come. We've been delivered talents unequally. No two of us are alike. But if you're saved tonight, there is a way in which we are alike. We've all been given the same pound. And you'll notice in the parable, I want to leave this with you till next week. It isn't the person that gains 5 pounds.